I want to read to you a portion from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians this morning. And it's from the second chapter. Chapter 2 of Ephesians is in two parts. And I want to read the second part, which begins with verse 11 and goes through to the end of the chapter. So you listen now to God's Word. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And He came and He preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. And so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the grace that You give us in Christ Jesus. Thank You that in Him we have salvation and that there is no other name given among men whereby we may be saved. And we pray, Father, that as we are together for this short time now, that You'll be pleased to apply Your Word to our hearts and draw us to Yourself and cause us to know that we are Your people. You are indeed our God, and that You dwell in our midst. We ask these things in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen. A few years ago, when we were visiting in Japan, my wife and I, with fear and trepidation, got on a train. And when we got off the train at one of the stops, I guess we were changing trains or something like this, a woman came up to us and started talking to us in Japanese. And we thought to ourselves, is this woman asking directions? No, we don't know where you're going. We can't help you out. And this woman kept insisting and talking to us. And, of course, here we are in a strange land. We can't talk the language. And she, well, there we are. And we kept putting her off and putting her off. And finally she gave up and she did leave. And I guess we got on another train and went on our way. But then a few days later, when we were at a church service, guess what? This same lady came up to us. She had been trying to help us. We thought, well, maybe she's asking directions from us, and we were saying, no. We were putting her off. But she was trying to assist us. Isn't this the way of it? People come and try to help us often, and we put them off. God comes and helps us to speak to us, and we put him off. God sends someone to us to help us, and we put him off. The passage that's before us this morning in Ephesians talks about our being strangers and aliens. And Christ coming and calling us to God so that we won't be strangers and aliens anymore, but we'll find a home with God. And the propensity is, the thing that we often do is we put off Christ. And I'm here to say to you this morning, don't put off Jesus Christ. When Christ comes and offers you peace with God, trust Christ and come home to God. You see, that's the basic message this morning. Don't put off the messenger who is attempting to give you help. You might feel like you're a stranger in the land, but God is sending a messenger, and his primary messenger is Jesus Christ. Trust Christ and come home to God. The text starts out like this. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called circumcision by the so-called, called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you, at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Remember, folks, this is how it once was. When Paul talks about the circumcision here, he's talking about the Jews. And the mark of their membership in the church was circumcision. The mark of your membership in the church is your baptism. It's the same thing. And Paul says that formerly you were outside the pale of the visible church. And what does this mean? You see, he says, you were separated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were separated from the visible body. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. What was the wonderful thing about ancient Israel? God gave those ancient people His Word, the oracles of God. What's so good about the church today? I'll tell you, one of the great things about the church today is you have the Word of God. You have the Bible. You have the Word of God at your disposal. And in the Word of God, you hear the promises of God. You hear the message about Jesus Christ. You children, you young people that are here, let me tell you something. It's a good thing that you have parents who are willing to grab you by the scruff of the neck and bring you to church, to the place where you'll hear about Jesus Christ. That's a very good thing. And Paul says, without Jesus Christ, without hearing those promises, where are you? You don't have any hope. You're without God in the world. This is the problem, isn't it? And there are so many people in the world without the gospel, without the Word of God, without hope. And you see them every day. We need to pray, don't we? We need to pray that God will be pleased to bring them to places like this so they will hear the promises of God and hear the gospel and no longer be strangers to God, but be brought home to God. See, that's the other side of the coin, isn't it? The text ends with this wonderful message. Verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. When we went to Japan and flew for hours over the Pacific Ocean and then came home and flew for hours over the Pacific Ocean again, we were glad to be home. We love the people over there. No question about that. But it was really great to come home. And so it is. So it is. It's a great thing, is it not, to come home to God. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints. Do you realize that your citizenship is not in this world, but your citizenship is in heaven, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God the Father? You're citizens of heaven. Think about that. And you're fellow citizens with the saints. What a deal that is. Some of the saints are in heaven, right? You know some of them that have gone from this life and they're now with the Father in heaven. Some of the saints are not here in this room. They're scattered in other churches in the city. And some of the saints are scattered around the world. And we're all together, are we not? We're fellow citizens. We're fellow citizens of the kingdom of God and connected to heaven. And what else does this text say? We're part of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. Your life is centered on Jesus Christ. That's the center of things. That's the focal point of all that you do. Tim Tebow got a lot of flack, didn't he? A lot of flack. It doesn't matter what you think about how well he does on the football field. That's immaterial. He made sure that others knew that the center of his life was Jesus Christ. And it's very phenomenal that John 3:16 got millions of hits on the internet during the Super Bowl. Quite amazing. Quite amazing. Because of this young man making sure that people understand that the center of his life is Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, being the center, in whom Paul goes on to say, the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. God, through Jesus Christ, is about the business of building a church in this world. And He's fashioning this church into a holy temple. Do you realize what a temple is? Paul is saying that you and I are being built into a temple, a dwelling place for God, a place in which God will be pleased to settle down and dwell. And Paul makes it even more personal in the very last verse. He says, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Friends, you are living stones being built into a spiritual house in order to give spiritual praises to God. You are being built into a holy temple, a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. You are no longer, in Christ Jesus, you are no longer strangers to God. Through Jesus Christ, you are at home with God. I kind of like the sound of that. Do you? Amen. Amen. And we notice that this is all because of Jesus Christ. In verse 13 of chapter 2, it says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, Paul is talking about, in this passage, Jews and Gentiles, actually. This is what he's talking about. And I would say that most of us in this room are Gentiles. I think that's probably the case. And what Paul is saying here is that the Gentiles were far off. He's not talking far off geographically. He's not talking about being far off as far as miles are concerned, distance is concerned. He's talking about being far off spiritually. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off spiritually, have been brought near. We just talked about that, didn't we? We've been brought near. We're being made into a temple, a dwelling place for God in the Spirit, so that when you come together, God is present. God is present to bless you and to encourage you and to apply His Word to your heart. You're no longer a stranger and an alien in the world. You're at home with God. And Jesus Christ, through His work on the cross, by His blood, has been pleased to bring you near to God. And when Paul talks about the blood of Christ, he doesn't just have the cross in mind. Let me try to break this out open for you a little bit. You see, he doesn't simply have the cross in mind. He has, yes, the cross in mind, but he has in mind the fact that Jesus Christ entered this world from glory as a man, and he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he lived a perfect life. Can you imagine a 12-year-old living a perfect life? I can't imagine it. And one of the reasons I can't imagine it is that, well, it doesn't matter if you're 12 years old now or not. You see, I can't imagine it because I once was 12 years old, and I remember that I was a little less than perfect. And if my mother were still living, she'd remind you of that fact, that I was a little less than perfect. He lived a perfect life. And as a perfect man, he sacrificed himself in order to pay the penalty for the sins of people like you and me. He went to that cross and agonized on that cross, and darkness fell upon the land, and he descended on that cross into the pits of hell, and the wrath of God was hurled against him, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken of the Father, paying the penalty for the sins of people like us. He died on that cross. And then placed in a tomb, placed in a grave. It's interesting, isn't it? You don't have to drive very far in this city to see a cemetery on a hillside. You may just have to look out your back window. I don't know. But you don't have to go very far. But I don't see many of those graves at this point popping open, do you? But the grave of Jesus Christ came open. And he came out of that grave. And for 40 days and for 40 nights he walked the dusty trails of Palestine and Judea, and there were many who saw him. And the Apostle Paul said, there are 500 people who have seen him at one time. Some of them have fallen asleep. And I think the implication there is, go talk to them. You don't believe that Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead? You go talk to them. You see what they have to say. And I suspect after talking to 500 eyewitnesses, you might be convinced. But you also might be convinced by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit working in your heart. Because after Jesus Christ appeared to many, he ascended into heaven. And he sat down at the throne of the Majesty on high. And from that position, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he poured out his Holy Spirit. And when that Spirit comes into your heart and to my heart, we throw ourselves before Jesus Christ and we say, He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. That's the confession. And it's this work of Jesus Christ, friends, that brings you near. It brings you near to God. Trust Jesus Christ and you are at home with God. See, this is the point that we're after. Now, I want to back up just a little bit. I'll try not to trip over the step. I want to back up just a little bit. Because Paul tells us some things, and they may seem a little complicated Work with me here a little bit now, because Paul tells us some things about the Jews and the Gentiles and how he brings Jews and Gentiles together. Okay? And these things have to do with the Old Testament temple and the significance of the Old Testament temple. So look with me, if you would now, those of you who have your Bible, at verse 15 in Ephesians 2. He says that Jesus Christ, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He talks about the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What does he mean here? He says he's abolished the law of commandments contained in ordinances. I want you to know that this does not mean that Jesus Christ has abolished the Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ has not abolished the Ten Commandments. In fact, Jesus Christ affirms the Ten Commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments are hung all of the law. You shall have no other gods before me. That's a stipulation in the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not use God's name lightly or in an empty fashion or as an expletive at the end of a sentence. You are not to use the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word. You are not to use the name of Jesus Christ as a punctuation mark at the end of a statement. That's not how you're supposed to use the name of Jesus Christ. You're to call on the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus Christ is not getting rid of the Ten Commandments. So disabuse yourself of that idea. Get that idea out of your head. What Paul is talking about here in the law of commandments contained in ordinances is the temple, the ordinances of worship in the Old Testament temple. That's what he's talking about. You see, ordinances have to do with worship. Have any of you ever heard this kind of terminology? The ordinance of baptism. Have you heard that? Okay. We call baptism an ordinance. We call the Lord's Supper an ordinance. It's a part of our worship. See? These things are part of worship. Jesus Christ abolished the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He abolished the Old Testament temple worship. He abolished the Old Testament temple sacrifices. Why? Why? Because all of those Old Testament temple sacrifices pointed to Him. They pointed forward to Him. And when Jesus Christ came on the scene, that Old Testament temple was no longer needed. Why would you want the shadows when you have the substance? Why would you want pictures when you have the reality? Oh, I know, some of you would say, I'd much rather have a picture of my boyfriend or girlfriend. I'd much rather have a picture of my husband or wife than actually have my husband or wife right there with me. Right? No, I don't think you'd... I don't think that's the direction you'd like to go. You'd rather have the reality. And so when Jesus Christ comes, the temple is no longer needed. And part of the problem was that the Jews did not really get the picture that the Old Testament temple pointed to Christ. And it was Jesus Christ that they needed to trust. And you remember in the New Testament how some of the Jews were quite adamant about the fact, no, get out of here, Jesus. We like our temple just the way it is. But the temple pointed to Christ. As we've already said, the sacrifices pointed to Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And when you went into the temple, there was a big bathtub. And water was taken out of that big tub for cleansing. A picture of the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. And then when you went into the holy place, on the left-hand side there was a candelabra. Jesus is the light of the world. And on the right-hand side there was a table with bread on it. It was replaced every Sabbath day. Jesus is the bread of life. And then when you looked ahead, right in front of you, in that holy place, there was an altar with incense. A picture of Jesus praying for His people. And every morning and every evening, the priest would go in and trim the lamps and put incense on the altar. A picture of the prayers of God's people arising to heaven through the prayers of Jesus Christ. And then there was a veil. You remember that, don't you? The veil. The writer to the Hebrews says, the veil was His flesh. It was a picture of His flesh. And when Jesus Christ gave up the Spirit, gave up the ghost on the cross, the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus Christ was rent in two to gain access to the throne room of God. All those things in the temple pointed to Jesus Christ. And the problem was that the Old Testament people of God did not trust Christ. They repudiated Christ. They told Christ to leave. And in the end, when He would not, they crucified Him. They rejected the messenger who had come to give them help. They were strangers to God, in fact. And the Bible is telling us that you and I once were strangers, and it's through Jesus Christ that we're brought near. And we need to remember that that Old Testament temple was put away and destroyed because, friends, because that Old Testament temple pointed to Jesus Christ. And now that Jesus Christ has come, we don't go back to those Old Testament sacrifices. We trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ alone. Is that not right? For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and that faith is directed toward Jesus Christ. That's the point. And what then does our text tell us? Well, let me read just a little bit more. Verse 14 and following. And He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the dividing wall. What was the dividing wall? What was the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile at that time? It was the temple. It had to be destroyed, you see. That was the dividing wall. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity, the hatred, and the hostility. Why did Gentiles hate the Jews? Because of what they stood for in the Word of God and in the sacrifices. Isn't it an extraordinary thing in our day that Muslims hate the Jews so fully? Have any of you heard the statement of the religious leader in Iran? Israel's a cancer that needs to be cut out and destroyed. That's cool. No, not cool. Who is going to bring peace? Who is going to bring peace between people who have such a virile hatred between one another? Only Christ. Only Jesus Christ. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity, the hatred, which is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two, and in this case Jew and Gentile, into one new man. Imagine this. Reconciliation. I did notice your sign back here. Reconciliation. How does it come? Only through Christ. How is there reconciliation between the Jewish race and all other races? Jesus Christ. How is there reconciliation between black and white in our day? Jesus Christ. It's the only reconciliation that there truly is. Aren't you glad that that's the case? Amen. And might reconcile them both in one body through the cross by having put to death the enmity. And so Jesus Christ, by coming and fulfilling all that the temple stood for, by fulfilling all that the temple pointed to, Jesus Christ brings us back home to God. And so now, what does Jesus Christ do? Verse 17 says, "And He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." What does Jesus Christ do? He comes to us. He comes to us. And He preaches peace. Not false peace, but real peace through His cross. And He gives us access in one Spirit to the Father. He brings us home. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He comes and preaches peace. He comes, friends, and preaches peace in His Word. And when you read the Bible, day by day, Jesus Christ is coming to you and preaching peace. And when you get together for Bible study, Jesus Christ is coming to you in His Word and in that study to bring you peace. And when you come together on a Lord's Day to worship Him and to look into His Word, Jesus Christ is coming to you with a message of peace. And the Holy Spirit is coming to you to open your eyes and open your hearts and to apply the word of peace to your hearts and to your lives so that you will turn to Jesus Christ and you will say, "Yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. I trust you, Lord." Oh, it's easy to sing about it, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. But let's not just sing about it. Let's believe it in our hearts. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. This is part of the beauty of it. When you hear the message of peace, when you hear the message of the cross, when you hear the message of reconciliation, the Spirit comes into your heart. That's His work, to open your heart so you'll respond to the message of the gospel. Trust Christ. He brings you home to the Father so that you will no longer be a stranger to God, but be part of His family. Trust Christ. And you are at home with God. We have triplet grandchildren in our family. Our youngest daughter has triplets. It's a good thing this was the first of the babies. Those of you who have one little one understand. They're a little over 4 years old now. And one of them, when she was born, there's two boys and a girl. One of them, when she was born, was a pound and a half. Tiny little thing. And God bless them, and God has brought them along. And as they were moving from being toddlers, or from being crawlers, I should say, to being toddlers, I remember their dad. Their names are Luca and Mateo and Mia. And I remember their dad. Put Luca there, stand him up. He's a little wobbly. Stand him up. Then he'd back off a couple. So you've done this, haven't you? Come on, Luca. Come to Daddy. Come to Daddy. And then he'd take a couple of steps and fall. And then pretty soon, he'd come to Daddy. And he'd take three or four steps and he'd be there. Yay! Yay! Come to Daddy. Friends, Jesus Christ is like this. We're the toddlers. We're the toddlers. And Jesus Christ is saying, come on, come on, come on, come on home to me. Come home to me with my Father and be in heaven with my Father. I paid the penalty due to you for your sins. I died on that cross to pay for those sins. Yes, you can come on. Now I give you the gift of the Holy Spirit so you can trust in me. Come on, come on. Take those few steps and come. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come home. Come home to your Father. You see, in the end, that is the message, isn't it? Trust Jesus Christ, and come home to the Father. And friends, you see, from our text, what we've learned is that when you do trust Jesus Christ, you are home with your Father. Isn't that right? And now as you gather together, He is pleased to meet with you and to bless you and to strengthen you and to build you up in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And so I say to you, friends, I don't know you all, but as I teach in my classes, every church is a mixed multitude. Every church has people in it who may not know Christ. Every church is this way. And so I say to you, come home. Come home. Come home to your Heavenly Father. Trust Jesus Christ and come home. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, take Your Word, put it in our hearts, cause us to understand it, and cause us to respond to the Word that You've been pleased to give to us on this particular day. Bless Your people in this place. Grant them Your grace and cause them, Father, to grasp and to live Your Word. Cause them to trust in every aspect of life Jesus Christ, and cause them to understand that when they do trust Jesus Christ, they are at home with You, and You welcome them and You embrace them. Thank You. In His good and gracious name we pray. Amen.